Always glad to bring a lesson. I know I'm not the most eloquent speaker, but I do hope the things that I do present to y'all is something that will encourage you to maybe help correct us if you're any of us erring in these things. But I just hope we all look in God's Word as truly as what it really is. It is the truth, and it is God's Word He has given us. I want us to look in it again this morning. I want us to look in the providence of God. This is something I thought about a while back, never did put a lesson together on it. But I want us to think about the providence of God. And in that, we need to think about providence. It is the divine guidance of human destiny. Most people in the world have forgot who is in control. And I believe many Christians has today as well. We really, truly, some of us may, or none of us may be here, I hope, but a lot in the world have really forgot who's really in control. Sometimes I think we in our life, we might forget this. And so, this is why I got this lesson. I want us to think about these things. Sometimes we look around. We look around our society and our political leaders, and we think we're doomed. You look around and you think it looks all as we look at, oh, we're doomed. There's no hope for us. Well, those leaders or those people that we have leading us, there's nothing we can do. We might as well pack our bags up and leave. And that's the attitude I think we sometimes get. And we put too much on our political leaders thinking that they're the ones in charge. They're the ones that's doing these things. But we need to realize, first and foremost, who's truly in charge. And that's why I want to do this lesson here. But I want us to think about, is that who we trust? Is that who we put our trust in, our political leaders? Is that where your trust lies? Is your trust lie in your president or your political leaders, your governors, whoever it may be? What about your jobs? Does your trust lie in your jobs? Sometimes people think about that. We worry so much about our jobs and different things, and there's nothing wrong with being concerned about our jobs. But with a job even like I've got with the railroad, you never know from one day to the next they're going to lay you off. That's just how big businesses like that work. But I don't want to let that concern me. If I live my life worried about my job, thinking my job is what's keeping me alive here on this earth, and that is not the truth. My faith is in God, and that's what I want us to make sure we all continue to remember these things. We got to have a job, but yes, my job ain't realizing CSX is not one to provide for my family. God provides for my family. And so, that's the attitude I want us to have. Some think about the rich. We see that from Scripture, that the rich learn to put too much trust in their riches. They learn to think on those things. God, through Moses there in Deuteronomy, he warned them when they went into the land. So don't forget God when they get in there and they have all these things and have all this abundance and they start to realize and no longer think that they need God anymore. So some people even forget that when they have money. They want to put their trust in money. But they don't worry about nothing. They ain't worried about it. Those people may have something to worry about, but I got money. My money's going to bring me through it. And that's what I want us to look at. Not saying that we should be concerned, like we said, about these nation's officers. We need to be concerned. That's a great blessing that we have, a privilege that we have in this country, that we can vote and we can speak on a matter. And that's a great privilege we have. Not trying to take away from that. But yet, we really need to realize, too, at the same point, where our trust really lies, and it needs to lie with God. Another thing I thought about the other day, my son asked me a question the other day. He said, Dad, if such and such becomes president, are we going to move to another country? And that's kind of what I'm thinking about. And I had to explain this to him. He's probably heard me saying it or heard some of us here speaking it or wherever, where he heard this from. But you can probably hear we all talking about political things right now. But I had to explain to my son right then, son, my faith ain't in God. I ain't in the president of our country. My faith in God. That's where our faith needs to lie. No matter what happens with our country, no matter what goes on, what political leaders happen, what happens with our nation, God is in control, and that's where we need to have all our faith lies, right there. And so, this is kind of what brings this thought out. I want us to think about this morning. I want us to know, first thing I want us to look at is God is still in charge. Second thing I want us to think about is how God works through us. Then the third thing is, do we allow God to work through us? That's some things I want us to look in this morning. So, the first thing, let's go ahead and look into it, is God is still in charge. We need to realize that. I had Jason read a while ago from in Daniel, in chapter 4. Read there, Nebuchadnezzar. Here's one king here who had all this greatness, had all these things. And he started realizing then that look at all these things that I have done. Look what I have created. This is what his attitude become like. He thought he was in charge. I'm the king. I'm a king of the greatest nation. I'm King Nebuchadnezzar. He thought that he was in charge. Well, God had to humble him. God had to show him that he's not in charge, that I'm in charge. And that's what we need to realize. Just looking back, not going to read again what Jason read, but look back in verse 25 there, Daniel chapter 4, if you're there, still there. In Daniel chapter 4, there, 25, he says, they shall drive you from men, your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. The Most High rules. God rules in the kingdoms of men. Even during this time and still in our time. But he says, and gives it to whomever he chooses. You ever thought about that? God gives it to whomever he chooses. God, a lot of times God gives the people what they want. We see with the people back there in the end of the judges there where Samuel, they come to him and we want a king. We want a king. We want to be like these other nations and your children is not like you. They're wicked. We want a king. Well, God gave them a king. God gave them what they wanted. But it was God who gave them that. God gave them those things. And God was still in charge. Even though God gave them a king, God was still in charge. We've seen what happened with Saul. When Saul disobeyed, did not fully obey what God told him to do, he took the kingdom away from him. Gave it to David. God is in charge. God is still in charge today. We need to realize that. And if we realize that, it should make us a lot more happier people. We're thinking about all this news and all the stuff that's going on around us, and it just make you miserable. Bring you down. We ain't got to worry about those things. We can be concerned about those things, but yet we should never be worried that that type of person. We need to keep our eyes fixed and realize my God is in control. My God is in charge. Think about Pharaoh. Think about Pharaoh there when God sent Moses there before him. Here's Pharaoh here who had the children of Israel here, then turned them into slaves and hard bondage here for them. Pharaoh thought, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I'm not letting them go. Well, God showed him by a mighty hand who was in charge. So bringing all these things to our attention so that we can understand. God is still in charge today. In Exodus 19:5, he talks about there that all the earth is mine. All the earth, God said, is mine. We realize that. That all the earth and everything in it is the Lord's. Sometimes we think, well, that's ours. No, it is God's. And God has blessed us with so many things here. Sometimes we might get to that attitude and think that we might not need God or we might not put our trust totally in God anymore because we have these other things. We got to be careful of that. Just as Moses warned them there in Deuteronomy, we ourselves must be very careful of these things. In Psalms 47:7, it says, for God is the King of all the earth. For God is the King of all the earth. Do we think that's still true today? It is, absolutely. God is still in charge of all the earth. We must understand these things. You can think about, you'll turn with me to John. John chapter 19. Jesus had to correct another one here. Pilate here, we all know where Jesus corrected Pilate. John 19. Starting in verse 10. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Here, Jesus here is not speaking a word. But yet, when Pilate said these things here, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know? He's asking our Lord and Savior here, do you not know? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Pilate here saying, I have this power. Do you not know this? That I have this power? Then Jesus speaks. Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has a greater sin. From then on, Pilate did seek to release him here. Could you imagine? Pilate thought, well, I'm in charge. Do you not know that I have this power? This is the power I have. And Jesus corrected him, let him know, you have no power at all, except what's been given to you from above. We need to always remember these things. Where did Pilate get his power? It come from God. The power he had only come from God. We never need to forget that. So I want us to look at now how God works through us. You think about this. We think about the providence of God and these things happening. Sometimes we don't understand the way things happen. But how does God then work through us then today? It's not some miraculous thing that we see. But I want us to look, to answer this question, I want us to look into Scripture. I want us to look now into some Scripture, like some examples that we see in Scriptures. And the first, I want us to look in Joseph. Joseph, is a very good one to look at, too, how God used him. But if we had to go through the things that Joseph went through, we would think we had all alone. There in Joseph, I'm not going to read all the stories there, but we all kind of know the story of Joseph here. We know the story. Joseph had his father gave him a coat of many colors. His other brothers became very jealous of Joseph. They did not like Joseph. They've come to hate him because of that, because of their jealousy. And because of that, there in Genesis 37:28, they actually traded him. They sought to kill him there, but then they sold him to the Midianite traders there in Genesis 37:28 there. But then the Midianites sold him into Egypt. They sold him to Potiphar there in Genesis 37:36. And then we know what happened there when he was with Potiphar. Potiphar realized that the Lord was with him there and that the Lord, everything that he'd done, the Lord blessed him. And because of that, Potiphar put him over all his house. But yet, Potiphar's wife began to look at Joseph. He was a handsome man. She began to want Joseph. But Joseph would not. Joseph said that my master Potiphar has put me over all his house except you, and I will not do this great sin against my God. Think about that. You think about already, think about the things that happened to Joseph here now. His own brothers sold him into slavery. And then he's sold into slavery to the Midianites. They take him into Egypt and they sell him again. He has been sold as a slave. Left his father's house. And now, on all these things, the Lord is with Joseph. The Lord's with him. And all of these things, Joseph is at this point where he tells Potiphar's wife, I'm not going to do this sin. I'm not going to sin against God. He did not turn his back on God. All these things happened to Joseph, and he still has not turned his back on God. Well, we know what happened. There was a lone in the house one day, and Potiphar's wife grabbed hold of his cloak, and he fled out the door naked. But then she lied and told the others that Joseph tried to take advantage of her. We know the story from there. So now he's thrown into prison. I mean, how much bad luck can somebody have? We think about ourselves, we go through all this. Are we wanting to serve God? Think about us today. What if we went through all these things? Are we still wanting to serve God? Are we still going to be living and doing the things that God would have us to do through all this? Well, Joseph did. I want us to look there in Genesis 39 real quick. But here in Genesis 39, there it said there in verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, here. We know he's there in Potiphar's house. He was with Joseph. I quoted that a while ago. But now there in verse 21, we're here, and he's here in the prison now. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So I'm going to ask you real quick, who's in charge? Who's in charge here? Was his brothers in charge when they done what they done? Was Potiphar in charge there? Now he's in prison. Who's in charge? The Lord was with Joseph. That's what we need to realize. When we go through things in life, sometimes we don't understand. We need to realize if we are obedient, faithful servants of God, the Lord is with us. And that's a great, great comfort. It should be to all of us. But the Lord is with Joseph here. And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And so now, because of that, he was put over those things in the prison. But I just want us to look at Joseph and his life. But many would say today, how was the Lord with him at all through these terrible things? All these things happening to Joseph, how was the Lord with him? We cannot see the things sometimes we're going through it, but it was God used Joseph through his faithfulness, to work through him. Joseph, later on we know that he interprets Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh appoints him as ruler over all his house, over all of Egypt there. And now we ourselves, we can look back though. We can look back now, we can see, oh, we can see God's plan unfolding. What about in our lives sometimes? Do we see those things? Sometimes we might not see things unfolding. We don't know why we're going through things. But we need to be able to realize that God's in control. God is in control. I got laid off back in 09. I never thought I'd been born and raised here in this area. Never thought I would have wanted to leave it. I got laid off and had to go to Huntington, West Virginia. Wondering at that time, why am I going through this? Just obeyed the gospel recently. All these things happening to me. I thought it was the terriblest thing ever. That's the greatest thing ever happened to me. I look back now, I can see the providence of God, the things working. God works in us and through us if we allow Him. But we have to remain faithful to God. We have to continue to remain faithful. Put our trust in Him. God's in control. No matter what goes on in your life, God is in control. Look now at Esther. Think about Esther. Esther's one that is very good, what I like to look at. But here in Esther chapter 4, if you don't mind turning with me there, in Esther chapter 4, we're going to look at a few verses here. That's very important. I want to draw from. But here, Haman here conspires to kill all the Jews. We all know here know the story. Haman here is conspiring to kill all the Jews. Mordecai would not bow before him and do all these things, would not give him respect, and he hated Mordecai, so he wanted all the Jews killed. Wanted all of them killed. So he conspired to do this, to kill all the Jews. Had this decree made with the king. And so in Esther 4, I want us to look there, in chapter, starting in verse 6 there. In Esther 4, verse 6. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay in the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, then that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned to and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes in the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law. Put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And it's interesting to me. Very interesting here, the words here with Mordecai and Esther here, back and forth. Mordecai said there to her in verse 14, I think it's very important. He said, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. So where does Mordecai's trust lie? The Jews here is waiting their annihilation. But Mordecai realized that this right here, that his trust wasn't in that. His trust was in God. He told her that the relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place if you don't do nothing. But he says, but you and your father's house will perish. But then he tells her, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So he's letting her know, who knows whether God put you there for this very specific reason. We can look back on the story now. We know what happened. She did go in. She did get brave enough to go in before the king these two times in this. And she did help save the Jews here. But yet, only when she allowed God to do those things through her. But it's just interesting for us to know there. Mordecai realized, hey, God's promise will be fulfilled in what He has given us. He realized that no matter what, God was still going to save them some other way. Maybe not us, but He will save the Jews That relief will come. But how do you not know that that relief will come from you, he told Esther. We need to think about that sometimes ourselves. Sometimes we think, well, what can I do? We have in life like a point, well, there's nothing I can do. So we don't want to do nothing. Well, Esther could not do that. She realized she could not do nothing. Sometimes there's a point we can't do nothing. We need to do something. We need to make sure that we are staying faithful to God and we're going to do those things no matter what. No matter what we're going through in life. Let's just continue to live and put our trust in God. Who knows how He might use each and every one of us. There's many people out there that maybe I can't reach, but there's many of y'all can. God can use you if you let Him. But we need to be able to let God work through us. So do we allow God to work through us? That's what I want us to ask ourselves now. We've seen here Esther, that God was able to use Esther through these natural means. These are natural means we're talking about, nothing miraculous, same way with Joseph. But God was able to work through them. But think about ourselves. But she had to put her trust in God, and that's what we have to do. We have to learn to put our trust in God. So are we living faithfully toward God? Are we allowing Him, are we allowing God to use us today? First, we must realize God is still in charge, and His will is going to be done, whether we do nothing or not. We realize that. God's will be done. But yet, who knows what God could do through us if we allow Him and we can remain faithful to Him. As we just looked at in Joseph and Esther, what a great influence Joseph was and how God used Joseph. Great example we have to look back at Joseph and his attitude. That's what attitude we need to have. Look at Esther, how she allowed God to use her for that purpose, to save the Jews there. But are we ourselves, I want us to ask that question, are we going to be instruments for His glory, or are we going to be hindrances to His cause? One way or the other, God's will be done, as we done talked about. But I want us to think about one thing here. We realize that God is still in charge today. We need to make sure we realize that. You can think about a father, maybe who's left for a while, and he's left his children behind, and he's gave them duties to perform while he's gone. Some perform their duties, but others were slack or just rebellious. Is not the father still in charge of that house while he is gone? Absolutely he is. He is still in charge of that house while he's gone. And the father will see to it the duties are performed, and his will is going to be accomplished. We need to realize that. His will be done. Punishment, you think about that, of even their fathers today. If their fathers they should be, and the fathers of their children have not done what they should have done, punishment will be handed out to those slack and those rebellious children. Do we not think our Heavenly Father to be the same? Those slack and those rebellious people, God will hand out judgment upon them. They will have the wrath of God. Brethren, we don't want the wrath of God. We want to make for certain that we are living and putting our whole trust in God. We may go through many hardships that we talked about in life. We've all been through hardships. Some of you may have been through a lot more hardships than I have. But when we go through these hardships, not knowing the outcome, we don't know the outcome. So what must we do? Put our trust in God. If we truly realize that God is in control, God is in charge, we can put our trust in Him without wavering. Put total faith in Him. What a great feeling that is, too, when we can learn to put that full faith in God. I want us to one last scripture I want us to look at in Romans chapter 8. If you don't mind, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Our last scripture. In Romans chapter 8 here. Starting in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a great thing. We can put full faith in God. Full faith in God. What a great thing it is to be on the Lord's side. That's where our faith needs to lie. We need to make certain on these things. We go through things in life and we see the trouble and corrupt nations around us. God's still in charge. Where are we? Where are we lying at? Are we staying there with God? If we put our realizing that God's in charge and we're going to stay with Him, we're going to realize that I'm putting my faith in God. These other things we can't count on. You can't count on United States of America. You can't count on these other nations. You can't count on some great man out there. You can count on God. What did he just say there, talks about there? Verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Can we say that truly? Or it says there in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Ain't nothing going to separate us from the love of Christ. We realize that. We've got to remain faithful to God. But we realize there, if we said back in verse 28, that and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. No matter what happens in life, things are going to work out to the good for those who love Christ. Love God, that's the ones God wants. Those who are going to remain faithful to Him. To those who are called according to what? There it said, His purpose. His purpose. God has a purpose. His purpose will be fulfilled. Are we going to be glorified and justified by our Lord and Savior? Are we going to be those who are going to remain faithful children? He's going to come back and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear when our Lord returns. So let's make sure for all these things we go through in life that we ain't putting trust in man. We ain't putting trust in things around us. Our trust lies in God. And God's not going to let us down. So that should make us all feel so much better. It makes me feel so much better to realizing that my God's in control. And if He's in control, I've got nothing to worry about. So that should bring us the peace that we all want, we all need. So let us think on these things. And there may be some here who are not a child of God, those who may want to become a child of God. You have that opportunity now to come forward, to repent of your sins, to confess your Lord and Savior, and be buried with Him in that watery grave of baptism, to put on Christ, to be ready to walk in that newness of life. If we can help you in any way, we bid you come now. Just stand and sing. The song has been selected.